Let's bring in Brian Hayes. You can hear him on Overdrive Daily. And Hayes, thanks for joining us, buddy. The news broke just earlier today about the Arizona Coyotes. And sounds like they won't have a home after next season. But it seems fitting because, you know, they're really not going to feel they're really competitive ice hockey team this year anyways.
No, exactly. And maybe they can borrow that song, that Hall & Oates song. That'll get that building rocking, man. The 2,500 people in there. That track, man, it gets people lively, but it never ends out there in Arizona, does it, Strutty? I mean, it's Gary Bettman just will not let it go. I give him credit. Like, he's incredibly resilient. He's like, I have to keep Arizona. You would think it was New York or LA or Chicago. You'd think it's the biggest market in the United States, but no barn, brutal team. Phil Kessel's out there, man. Phil will play 82. He'll score 30, and his handicap will be like a +2 or +3. He's going to have a great lifestyle this year.
It really is. I'm with you, man. I've been saying for years, as soon as they moved out to that arena in the middle of nowhere, that this was a bad decision. I don't get it. I understand it was a money play and all that stuff, but it's just never lived up to it. And now you couple that with the state of the team. I mean, half the roster will be traded by training, you know, by the trade deadline. They'll bring in more guys next year. Like, they're not even trying to win. Like, it'd be a tough place to go. And I look at Jacob Chychrun. I think I've spoken to you about this privately, but Jacob Chychrun, a good young D-man. I think he's people don't know about him. I think he's fantastic. If I were him, I'd say, buddy, I got to get out of here. Because I don't know where we're playing next year. I don't know if we're going to play anywhere. So is that too much for a young D-man to do, or is it think it'd be unreasonable for him?
No, I think it's absolutely reasonable. I mean, I don't know how he feels about, you know, the new staff that continues to turn over, coaching staff, management, ownership. But he is a really good player. You were on the show a few weeks ago pumping his tires, Strutty, and talking about how good he is and how under the radar he is. And that's a guy that's probably, like, he wants an opportunity to go to the Olympics. Like, I think he's on the bubble as an Olympic defenseman. Like, he really could have an opportunity, but he's going to need some help from his team. He's going to need to be put in a position to succeed. So, especially in this new era, like, we're living in a completely different world where if you're an athlete of substance, and you don't like the direction your career is going in or your team is taking it in, no one's going to turn their back on you if you decide, I don't want to do this anymore. It's honestly, it's almost a dime a dozen decision throughout sports. We see it all the time in every sport. Hockey's lagging a little bit compared to where maybe the NBA is, where the NFL is going, but I wouldn't hold it against him at all. It's a lose-off between Arizona and Buffalo right now. And they've been doing that forever, right? Like, this, we know what happened in 2015. Edmonton picked first, the Leafs picked fourth, Buffalo picked second, Arizona picked third. The Leafs and Edmonton are still trying to figure it out in terms of the playoffs, but at least they're a playoff team. The other two teams are worse today maybe than they were in 2015.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Especially look at the goalies of Buffalo. I mean, as we're joined by Brian Hayes, Overdrive 1050. You can hear him every day from 4 to 7. Honestly, with all due respect to those goalies, if that doesn't scream, we're not even trying, I don't know what does. And I at some point, does the league not have to come in and say, guys, at least pretend like you're trying to win a game?
Well, I don't know who they're tanking for either, Strutty. Like, I know... There's like, who are you tanking for before the season even starts? Because it does feel like deja vu in the McDavid draft. Any goalie that had a save percentage over 750 got traded in Buffalo. It was like, if you had pads, you had to go. And that's basically what they're doing here. They have goalies where they're trying to lose. Like, they are actively tanking. They're going to pretend outwardly that they're not, but their goaltending is so bad. You know, the same situation down in Arizona, like on both teams. They don't have goaltenders, and they have no interest in winning this year. It's a tank off between those two teams. And I'm with you in terms of the league has to hope that at some point this new administration in both cities, Buffalo and Arizona, find a way to push it forward. But they are just spinning their wheels, and they are two of the most irrelevant teams in the league, and they have been for a long time. And it just cannot be good for business in either market. There's just no chance.
Hazer, let's talk a little bit about the Toronto Maple Leafs. You know, you look at them, and I think the comparison between the Oilers and the Leafs is fair. Both teams have made their bets. They've got their long contracts. And then you try to manage on the edges, right? A Nick Ritchie or a Wayne Simmonds coming in, or you got Spezza, a young player. But, you know, tell me how the Leafs are or will become, or how can they become a better team this year than they were last year with the changes they made in the offseason?
I'm not convinced they can or they will be, Strutty. I don't know if they dropped off, you know, as drastically as maybe some people are suggesting. You know, Freddie Anderson was a known commodity, but he didn't play down the stretch. Like, he was non-existent. They had to go out there and get David Riddick. So is the combination of Jack Campbell and Peter Mrazek better than Jack Campbell and David Riddick? Yes, they are. Freddie Anderson at 80%. I would take Peter Mrazek at 100% over Freddie Anderson at 80%. So the goaltending tandem, you know, there's some question marks there. More importantly with Jack Campbell, because he's had such an injury-prone career, and he's never been a defined number one. Last year, he took the reins and ran with them and had a spectacular second half. And I thought he played well in the seven-game series against Montreal. It was not his fault they lost. But he needs to prove that he can play 50-55 games. Until he does that, it's reasonable for people to be skeptical about that. But Joe Thornton, by the end of the road, didn't bring much. Zach Bogosian was a good piece, but he's your sixth defenseman. If you can't overcome a guy moving on who's on the back pair, then what are we really talking about here? So I think they're going to be – they're similarly built. You know, the big four forwards up front, their top four in defense I think is very good. And I think their tandem has the chance to be a little bit above league average. You know, so I think they're going to be a playoff team. I don't think it's a lock they're a playoff team. This realignment is scarier than anything else, really, when you talk about the actual roster construction, because they're back with Tampa, back with Florida, back with Boston. If they're in a wild card pursuit, you're talking Carolina, New York, the Islanders, Pittsburgh, Washington. It's going to be a grind. Like, I think they'll make the playoffs. I think they're a regular season team. I think Matthews, if he's healthy, will score 55. Marner will have 105 points. The question is, what happens come playoff time, and can they do enough to commit to the regular season knowing their whole reputation is on the line based on what they're going to do come playoff time? Like, they punched their ticket to the playoffs 5 years in a row. They haven't won a playoff round. No one cares if you have a great December, you know, or a great, you know, the dog days of the season. Wow, they really got hot. They got to find a way to perform in the playoffs, but they got to get there first.
Talking with Brian Hayes out of Toronto, Overdrive 1050. You hear him every day on that show with Noodles and O-Dog as he tries to keep those two guys, you know, somewhat under control. You know, you look at the Leafs team, and like I said, they've put a lot of their bets out there. Morgan Rielly, he's sitting at $5 million, a UFA after this deal, after this, you know, season ends. Can they afford to keep him, or can they afford to not keep him and move him out?
I think they have to find a way to keep him, but it concerns me that they have not learned any lessons from the past where, you know, prior to the year in which the younger kids signed their big deals, Nylander was going to be different because he was the first one to go. I think he was always going to wait until his RFA contract expired to negotiate. But I think you could have got Marner done the summer before. I think Matthews would have been open to a conversation the summer before. And they end up letting the Marner deal go, you know, expire, and they get all the way into camp. Zach Hyman, the same thing. I think last year, if you find a way to make a work a deal out, he's probably still a Maple Leaf, and it probably would not have cost the same thing that Edmonton paid for Zach Hyman. But they let it run out, and then they made their decision, and they didn't have enough to keep him, and Edmonton came in and got him. And my concern is that Morgan Rielly is going to be trending in a similar position, or he already is, where instead of them working out a deal before his contract expires, they're going to let it run out, and then it could lead to open season. And if he has a great year, there's going to be a lot of people seeking out his services. I mean, he still feels like he's been around forever, but he's only 27. He's been pretty durable throughout his career. He never has gotten to a level where he's a true defined number one. You know, he is not going to be Hedman, and he never will be Hedman. He's not even going to be, you know, Cale Makar or a couple of other Roman Josi when he won his Norris. He is not going to reach that level. But I think he's a step below, you know, two totally different players. But I think you could bring Darnell Nurse into focus and look at the deal Nurse just got. That's probably what Riley's asking for, or what Dougie Hamilton got. That's a lot of take, you know, and it's a lot of commitment. But he is their number one, and I think they need him. If they're in a cup window and they want to continue to consistently push for, you know, playoff success and hopefully get all the way to the top of the mountain, Unless you find someone that can supplant him, and I don't see that happening, I think you got to find a way to make the money work.
And one last one for you. With all this news about Arizona Coyotes, you know, potentially not having a home after this year, maybe moving, are Leafs fans breathing a sigh of relief because now Matthews isn't going to sign with them 3 years from now?
Yeah, that is probably a sigh of relief. But there's no, I mean, there's a lot of other markets out there. You know how the listen, you know how this Toronto market is, Strutty. Always very cool, calm, and collected. No one overthinks anything. No one freaks out about anything. So everyone's very relaxed. It's all going to play out the way it's supposed to play out. I can't imagine he ever ends up in Arizona. You never know. But, you know, there's some other pretty quality markets out there, L.A., Vegas. We'll see. I mean, he's the cover boy for EA Sports. You know, you only get that in Toronto. Like, you ain't getting that if you're in Arizona. So I think Matthews understands that.
And you know what? And people are upset about him being on twice. Why not? The guy is, if not the best, one of the top goal scorers in the NHL. Like the way he shoots the puck, I love watching him shoot the puck and his whole game. But he changes his angles. You look at goalies; they're just befuddled about what kind of shot he's going. Could you imagine Noodles trying to save one of his shots? It'd be like a catcher trying to catch a Phil Negro screwball.
Yeah, with no glove on. That would be Noodles. Noodles would just two-pad stack it and say, if you go shelf, you go shelf. I mean, Noodles, I don't know what his game plan would be on Matthews, but he'd be breaking sticks. He'd find a way to get suspended. I think that would be his game plan. I'll get suspended the game before I play Toronto, and basically the Matthews flu. That would be it for Noodles.
I love it. Well, Hazer, thanks for this, buddy. We'll catch up with you as we get closer to the start of the training camp and regular season.
Can't wait. Thanks, buddy. Appreciate it.